you think your world is safe. It is an illusion. A comforting lie told to protect you. Enjoy these final moments, for I have returned. So, shall we begin?
All right, ladies, buckle up! It's showtime!
Would you consider yourself a spiritual person?
I don't really understand the point of the question. I consider myself a moral person.
Do you believe in God?
As a scientist, I rely on empirical evidence, and in this matter, I don't believe that there is data either way.
So your answer would in fact be that you don't believe in God?
I don't understand the relevance of the question.
95% of the world's population believes in a supreme being in one form or another. Question more than relevant.
Grease on Radio Live right here, 1 minute after the hour on blogtalkradio.com. It is January the 18th, 2012. Should I be concerned about my wife? I don't know where she is. She called me a little while ago. I still haven't heard from her. But, you know, I'm not a paranoid son of a bitch. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't get paranoid for nothing. Anyway, man. Ray Nagin. Boy, are we going to have a ball with him today. Ray Nagin is in the news. Former mayor of New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. I will be ripping him a new ass tonight. Yeah, he's in deep trouble. He didn't turn out to be nothing more than a corrupt piece of garbage. But then again, I could have told you that back in 2005 when I was doing the Star and Buckwild morning show. I never liked this guy. I am not a fan of him. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the worst mayor to ever exist in history. Because I believe that Ray Nagin is responsible for multiple deaths that happened as a result of Hurricane Katrina. But we'll get into that later today. Biggest news, of course, of today is Oprah Winfrey is having her interview, or second part of her interview, with Lance Armstrong. We'll talk about what happened last night, which was minimal at best. Because I have to tell you this. Oprah did two things that were irreparably wrong in her interview with Lance Armstrong last night. And that was asking the most important questions in the beginning. Because 15 minutes in, I was done. Couldn't even been that. I'll tell you what Mary Mary Why You Buggin' said even after that. With all the hype in all of this, here's a woman who likes Oprah, doesn't have a big beef with Oprah, likes Oprah Winfrey's interviews, finds her intriguing, and her interview, or her guest for that matter, intriguing. Wait until you hear how she responded to the Lance Armstrong interview. That, in and of itself, is interesting. We also have to get into Maite Teo and the new developments that came from a Sports Illustrated reporter. This is the woman who broke the Alex Rodriguez story about his doping that took place in 2004. You may remember her. I'm forgetting her name right now, but it's not important. She is breaking news about the Maite Teo story from the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So, and I have that audio, and we'll play that as well. I've got some Lance Armstrong audio as well. The Lance Armstrong audio I don't have in particular, but what I have is the response from some of the people who heard the interview, and they've been everywhere talking to everyone, from CNN to CBS to NBC. They're everywhere. We'll have a little bit of audio from that as well. Let me see what other audio I have here, because Ray Nagin is sitting in my face, and I want to rip him a new ass. that's how much I hate this son of a bitch. You have no idea, folks. This is how much I hate. I mean, to have hatred for some person. He is the person. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. That's all I have. Maite Teo, Lance Armstrong, and Mayor Ray Nagin's his indictment. So that's those are the three things I'm probably going to get into today. With the exception that we're going to have some special guests on the show tonight. I'm hoping that they hurry their asses up and call up. I'm also going to have, and it's funny because I didn't get an email from the young lady who's supposed to be calling in at 9 o'clock tonight. She is a doctor, a psychologist, or psychiatrist. I'm not exactly sure because, of course, she never sent me her info. And she is going to analyze yours truly, find out what my problem is. I'll tell you about that later on, of course, also in the show. JC, the producer, also MIA, but I think he's got some personal things going on. Maybe he'll join us. If not, he doesn't. And Reese on the Radio will ride alone. That's just what it is that I do. Plenty of stuff to get into today. We've got news. We've got views. We'll talk about the Algerian issue that's going on. We'll talk about Maite Teo. It's Friday night. I know some of you are probably getting ready right now to go out. I hope some of you are going to a party or a club. If you're people like Julie, who sent me a great email today. Julie, I'm not gonna blast it on the air because that's personal, but I loved it. It was a great personal story. I didn't know about that. And Julie was responding to a conversation I had the other day about online dating. And she sent me this great email talking about it. And it was a great, great email. I loved it, Julie, in case you're listening. Very, very revealing and honest, and it was a great read. I had a lot of fun reading that email. I like a good email when I get them. It's reeseontheradio@yahoo.com, by the way, if you want to send me one. Also, I want to thank Poochman, as he calls himself, over at poochfm.com. We had a great week this week. Our 1 to 4 p.m. show, Reese on the Radio on Pooch FM, we did that this week. That was kind of fun. I had a blast doing that. If you can bear to listen to hip-hop in your office and nobody gives you a hard time, if you're probably working in one of those cooler places, you can listen to the show. You can get a sense of what it is that we're going to talk about at 8 o'clock at night. You can do that. We've also got WAC FM coming up real soon. We've already set up everything, with the exception of our logo, which JC has been dragging his feet getting done. I don't know what that's about. But I'll have to tear into him. Not as bad as I'll tear into Ray Nagin. But I'll do that soon. We'll get that logo up for you to see it and for you to check us out on WAC FM. Hopefully things will turn out. It might be tough. I'll be honest with you, I need to start a telethon. If I can come up with a good $150, I can get this thing on and popping. I'm just about $150 short, but if I can get that popping, maybe I should just ask some people for some donations. Maybe I should ask all of my friends to give $3. Maybe that'll work. That everybody who knows Reese on the Radio, can you donate Reese on the Radio $3? Everybody, please. I ask you this, if we could get it before the end of the month. If you could donate Reese on the Radio $3, just $3, that's all you need. Donate $3, and I'll give you a mailing address and everything. I really could use this. This would really, really help the Reese on the Radio plight. Maybe I should just do that. Sort of like a Reese on the Radio telethon. It's a little dire here. And, hey, I know some people are going to say, what the hell? Look, I'm telling the truth. I'm an honest guy. I try as much as I can to be honest. Some things I can't tell you because, you know, legally it just wouldn't be right. But we may need some donations. $3 a person, $3 a pop. I may ask for it. But if you can help out Reese on the Radio, we're trying to garner about $150, maybe even $200 if we can. if you're listening and you want to help the Resona Radio broadcast and brand. It's a one-time deal. We only need it one time, and then after that, we're good to go. Anyway, we'll get into that and some other stuff. When we return, we're going to have, hopefully tonight, and he better call, the one of the members of the famed R&B group from the 80s. You might remember them. Club Nouveau, the R&B pop band. They will, Jay King, who was part of that group, will be calling in tonight. He's a little late. He knows what time it is. Maybe I'll give him a holler and scream at him and say, what the hell are you doing? Why are you not here yet? But he's supposed to be on the show tonight. We'll do that. JC, the producer, has arrived. And we'll talk about that when we return right here on Resona Radio. So we got Maite Teo. We got Lance Armstrong. We got Jay King from Club Nouveau. You remember that song? What was it? What was the name of that song? Let me look at here, because I remember Jealousy. Why you always want? Yeah, he'll be calling in tonight. You know, they had that hit song Lean On Me. Yeah, from Bill Withers. He'll be on the show tonight. Again, we'll talk about Maite Teo, Lance Armstrong. We'll talk about the Oprah Winfrey interview when we return right here on Resona Radio. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
We are back. We are live 19 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com on January 18, 2013. On the phone with us, of course, is I consider him a friend. I think I can call him that at this particular point. We've talked. We've conversed. He calls me early in the morning, which is on a Saturday at 10 o'clock when most people are sleeping. But I'm still excited to hear from him. As soon as I see his area code, I jump up and I pick up the phone because I love the guy. And he's funny. He's insightful. He's got his own show on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Jay King in the Morning. You can check him out weekdays. In fact, he's got a whole bunch of other shows. He's got the whole Jay King network going on. But you can catch him at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Jay King is on the phone with us. What's up, bruh?
It's King's in the Morning.
King's in the Morning. I apologize.
Yeah. And you're one of our, like, you're like the fifth Beatle. You know, because when you come on, you know, you're like with us. You know, notice I just slid you in, just like boom. You know, there's no introduction. You get to be on. You know, notice how I put everybody else on mute, but I kind of leave your mic open.
You do. I see that, and I do appreciate that, man. And I'm a big fan because of groups like the SOS band, who one of my best friends back in the day, Romeo Malone, he introduced me to a lot of those groups in that era. SOS band was one, but the one group that he was crazy about was your group back in the mid '80s, Club
yeah.
Nouveau.
Yes.
And even and I'll tell you, you want to talk about the history that I got on my team. My producer, JC the producer, when I just put your name in the queue, it says J. King of Club Nouveau, he typed in immediately, "Love him," in capital letters. So he is excited that you're on the show. Come on, JC, you can say hello to J. King. Come on.
What's up, JC?
Come on, you can grovel. Nobody's gonna rip on you about groveling. JC, you there? Oh, I think he's handling some business behind. Okay, it sounds like he's handling some production business
jealousy.
In the background. Okay, I'll get him on. So, Jay, what's going on, man?
Well, Reese, you know what? You're always gracious enough to call into my show. And I kept telling you, Reese, I'm going to call it on your show. But your show is in the middle of my business day, or at the end of my business day, so my day is almost shutting down.
Okay.
But I said, I'm going to be on Reese's show today.
Well, I appreciate it.
And then my son called me at 4:59. So I had to talk to him and my grandkids, talk to them. And I said, I got to do a radio show, you guys. And then my girl called me. She hit me with a text. And she said, are you on the show yet? I said, no, I'm on the phone with my son. then I called into the show, and you have music playing. And then I called my girl and said, I'm going to be on the show. So then I called her and said, call into the show so you can hear me on somebody else's show. So if
well,
you get 916 number, that's her.
I appreciate the promotion. For those of you who don't know, and if you haven't listened to his show at 11 o'clock, and trust me, there it's a wild show. It's all over the place. If you think that my use of the word nigger goes overboard, you need to listen to Kings in the Morning because porch monkeys is the favorite term.
I call crackers out. I call
yeah.
tight pockets out.
Yeah.
I call love me long times out. I call Como Sayamas out. I call powwows out. And I call the sand chasers out.
Now,
and
also,
I don't say nigger. I say nigger, which
yeah.
is a definite term. Different.
But wait a minute, hold on. Now, you're going to have to break each and every one of those down.
Okay.
Because, right? Of course, everyone knows what you mean when you say crackers. But you said tight pockets.
That's Jew.
There?
The Jewish people are the tight pockets.
And then you said the Como Sayamas.
Those are the Mexican people.
Yes. And, do you have one for the Asians?
Those are the love me long times.
Love me.
So I'm an equal opportunity offender.
Sure. Yes.
I offend everybody. I don't, you know, I call black folks porch monkeys. So everybody gets to call into the show and get offended. If you're easily offended, it's the best show to be on because you're going to be offended through. But it's going to be funny also. And if you want some insight, I'm going to give you that. You know, I love the movie Django. You know, I love Quentin Tarantino. I think Spike Lee needs to sit his little bitty ass down and stop acting, number one. Just
Whoa.
Do what you do. His acting is horrendous. Even worse than his movie making, which is bad for me.
Wow.
But I love Django. I love Quentin Tarantino. I love all of Quentin Tarantino's works. I think he's brilliant. I think this is the best film. This is one of the best films made in the last 10, 15 years to me.
Really? Now, see, it's interesting because, you know, although I have not seen the Django film, and it's probably not a film. I'm not really a Quentin Tarantino fan because I believe that his blood and gore in his films is a bit gratuitous. That's the reason why I don't watch it. And call me a little squeamish. I might be a little light in the ass when it comes to watching those types of films. I'm willing to admit it. I just don't like a lot of blood and crap. That bothers me on the screen. I'm not really interested in watching that. However, the thing that caught everyone's attention in this movie was the fact that the N-word was used, 109, 110 times, and that was, they believed it was in excess.
Did you
get that impression when you watched it?
Absolutely not. I think that it was, I think it was appropriate.
Okay.
And just for black folk, just so that they know, the N-word was never used back then. Nigger was.
Right.
And nigger was used to just, nigger, get over here. Get that Sally over here. Get the nigger up off the floor. Not that nigger, right? Not that, the other nigger. The light, no. That's what they did, because black folks were considered three-fifths of human beings during that time period.
Oh, Jay, don't let me have to do a history lesson on you now.
You can do a history lesson on me. We can do it together.
Oh, listen, the three-fifths of a man thing is completely different than what people interpret it in the Constitution. Now, I'm going to say this to you, and I want to continue with the Django conversation, because you've seen it, I have not. So maybe you get an opportunity to enlighten me as to why I might want to see this film. But the three-fifths argument was simple as this. What they were trying to do was, based on population, what they wanted to do was, you know, no taxation without representation. And what people were allowed to do in many regards was to use their slaves as representation in Congress and in the Senate when elections came around.
Mm-hmm.
So one plantation owner would have an opinion about who he wanted to elect, and he would use as constituents his slaves who had no representation. So in order to use that as fair representation, what the law required was that each slave would be considered three-fifths of a vote, or three-fifths of a constituency.
Absolutely. Which makes us, and that's just that's for their reason. In all actuality, because if you let me finish, even though they considered us three-fifths of a human being or three-fifths of a vote, they treated us like we were nothing. We had no real value. We were no different than animals. And so that's what Django portrayed.
Okay,
that we
so
were
Django,
no
did
portrayed.
Django,
go ahead.
Django, what you're saying is that Django sort of elaborated on that three-fifths of a man sort of dialogue.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's all, yeah, but we were just, actually, no, we were less than three-fifths of a human, you know.
Right, right.
You know, in all actuality, the only reason why we became any value to them at all was for their purpose to give them a leg up on something.
Right, exactly.
Other than that, we had no value. You know,
you had a horse, right? There's no argument with you there. You're 100% right about that. But when they say that we were considered three-fifths of a man, that was an argument to keep slave owners from using the number of slaves as one whole constituency.
Absolutely. And again,
right.
I say, but what you're not going to get me to change is my position on that. I'm still considered not valuable. The only reason why the value was given to me was for something that was going to be in favor of something they needed as slave owners. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they didn't even see me as three-fifths of a man. They saw me like this. We got 10 chickens, 2 roosters, a pig, 2 cows, 4 horses, 6 niggers. That's, you know.
Right.
So So I was just, you know, I was
You're saying that the slave owner used you as an asset.
Right.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, that was the whole idea.
But so I had no value as a human being. No
right.
value as a human being. And the reason why people have a problem with Django is because America really get to see the truth of what it looked like. This is what it looked like. But we don't want it to be that blood. See, like you said, you know, I don't want that much blood and gore. But there was a lot of blood and gore during this time period.
Right.
You know, we don't want to talk about the fact that they fought slaves the way people fight pit bulls today.
Mm.
Or roosters.
And
you know?
You believe that was that depicted in the film with Leonardo DiCaprio's
yes.
character who was sort of had the Mandingo fights that I've heard so much about?
Yes.
So yes. it was Leonardo DiCaprio like the white Michael Vick?
Well, first of all, Michael Vick was nothing. You see, and that's another thing that cracks me up about. See, Michael Vick did what happens in his part of the country.
Right.
He, you know, white boys do that. That what Mike Vick did was nothing. He's a peon in that game.
Right.
In that part of the country, in that part of these United States of America, those kind of dog fights happen all day, every day. They're happening right now.
Right.
Michael Vick was just a scapegoat. Somebody.
Well, he's a big name. James
yeah,
is
yeah.
A, is a big
but,
name.
But he was a Rudy Poot in that business. That business
right.
is still going on. So he wasn't the Mike Vick because Mike Vick wasn't even a player.
Right.
He was
fair
a player
enough.
In the game.
Fair
he
enough.
Was a player in the game.
Right.
So he had that's what he did. He had some niggas that's what their job was. He had a nigga named Hercules. You know he had these different. I mean, and they would fight to the death.
Wow. Do you
yeah.
believe that this was do you believe
absolutely
do you
absolutely
believe, do you believe that this was a fair interpretation of slavery? Do you think that Quentin Tarantino touched the sort of put his finger on the pulse of what it was like? Do you think it was a little bit of an exaggeration? If you would have scored this reality versus fiction, what would you give it percentage wise? Like, would you give it 50-50? Would you give it 65-35? What would be your view on this?
I would say that all he did was scratch the surface. That this was as close to the reality of what happened than what we've ever seen. Because we don't want to believe that people were that callous. We don't want to believe it. We don't want to believe that this country could have been that barbaric. Because when you start talking about, you know, this time period, this wasn't 150 years ago.
Right.
This wasn't, you know, and so, but we don't want to believe that. But yeah, I believe that this is as close to the depiction of what took place as we possibly gotten. And Quentin Tarantino made it, and I think it was funny like that. I think the way they treated black folks, I think they had jokes. I think it was funny. I think one of the greatest parts in the film to me was Samuel L. Jackson.
Really?
Yes. Because when he saw Django on the horse, and he said, "What you do? There's a nigga on a horse. Get that nigga off that horse. What is this nigga doing? Nigga, get off the horse." And Leonardo DiCaprio said, "Oh, hold on now. That nigga right there is a free nigga. He can be, you know." And they're talking just like that. So, you know, they should have said nigger more.
Really?
Then I would have believed it. Yeah, then I would have believed it. Because I believe that, I think this is as close to what happened during those times. Listen, you got a place in Atlanta right now called Buckhead, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buckhead is where they used to, that's where they used to bring slaves and sell them and stuff. That's Buckhead. Believe it or not, up until about a year and a half ago, and only because we called the state of New York, up in upstate Hamilton County, I think it is. I'm not, but you guys had a nigger lake, a nigger road, and a nigger river. Now, if you can go to Google, they might still have some information up there. We found out that you guys had nigger lake, nigger road, and nigger river We called the state of New York. We called so many different because we got the runaround for so long. And I finally got somebody on the phone. I said, y'all got three niggas you need to get rid of. And the lady was like, what? I said, y'all got Nigger Lake, Nigger Road, and Nigger River. Why do you still have them? And they actually found them on the map, and I think they changed the name of them.
Wow. I think I saw that. You know, it's so funny because I thought a reference of that was made on a Daily Show not too long ago during the presidential primaries, the Republican primaries, when Rick Perry got some heat about being a member of a club that had that rock.
Yeah.
With the word nigger on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I heard something that was a reference to that. Was that about the same time when you guys called? No.
We were way before that. We did this a year and a half ago.
Oh wow. Oh man, that in and of itself is incredibly interesting.
We helped make this happen. I just went on Google just now and it said New York State gets around to renaming Nigger Lake.
Wow, that's impressive, and also very intriguing. Well,
so we did, So July 2011. So I believe it was in April, May we started doing this because in July 2011, because that was about a year and a half ago, that we put the press on them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see. I want to see this.
Go to Google and put in Nigger Road.
Okay, I'm going to look this up because, that's interesting. And I think he's on the line now. Our resident historian, Dennis the Masked Menace, who's on the line right now, here he is. He just sent it to me from Gawker, New York State. It's around renaming Nigger Lake. And here's the story. It says, although racism north of the Mason-Dixon line was thought to have been eradicated in 1964, government researchers claim to have spotted it in the wild, just recently lurking in the remote meadows and forest of upstate New York. The Wall Street Journal reports they just recently noticed that the New York state maps have Nigger Lake, Nigger Road, and Nigger River. There it is, confirmation. Thank you, Dennis the Mass Menace, who just sent it to me via Facebook. Okay, I want to take a break. Jay King, can you tell us a little bit about Club Nouveau? You guys got a show coming up, is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to be playing in Sacramento at Thunder Valley on the 15th of February. And, you know, we start touring in May. We have a new record coming out in March. The album is called Consciousness. Did I send you? I sent you the rough edit of the single, right?
You sent me the rough edit. You told me you didn't want me to. You didn't want me to play
no,
it.
I didn't
put it up. But I want to talk about that a little bit. When we get back, we'll put on Dennis the Masked Menace. And can you do me a favor? Sister Girl is doing a show right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that she's calling in at 9 o'clock because
as soon as her show is over with.
Okay.
I'm going to call Dr. Princess Odilia, Queen of the Parasites, Muhammad Ali, Run DMC. That's what I'll call her. But her name is Dr. Princess.
Get her on the show. She promised me an email today that I never, ever got. And I don't know. If you have to call into her show and tell her, hey, look, you know, send me that email, whatever it is you got to do, send me her a text. I want to get her in because she is supposed to psychoanalyze me today, and I especially have to get into Ray Nagin. Will you stick around for that,
former mayor
of New Orleans?
Yes, I will.
I want your insight on that. All right, we'll take a break. Here's a group back from early 2002. I love these guys. They're out of the California area. Jay King, do you ever heard of Zion Eye?
Zion Eye? No, I have not.
Look them up. This is a song they came out with on an album they did back then, about 2001, 2002 even. Called Mind Blow. Love this song. Love this group. We'll get into that. We'll come back shortly with Jay King of Club Nouveau, the famed R&B group from the mid-80s. They've got new music out. They've also got a concert tour coming out as well. We'll talk to him some more, and we'll get into Ray Nagin when we return. Lance Armstrong, My Tay Tayo also. We've got all of that coming up soon right here on Recenter Radio. Stick around.
this thing so my head don't get my brain. That's how I see it. Keeping it even with balance, even when the Zion train comes. It's the last one leaving. I'll be long gone when I'm finally home. Just relaxing from the action in the danger zone. It's not resting, catching my breath before I exit. Returning to earth, we on some next. Let's get one time, maintain, shine, take care, rhyme, free your mind. Let me holla, let me holla, let me holla, let me holla. Hey yo, one time, maintain, shine, take care, rhyme, free your mind. Let me holla, let me holla, let me holla, let me holla.
I am aligned with us. All of you shall witness to the and Babylon shall fall, fall.
Mellow ice grill. People keep on telling me to chill, but I know it's only poetry can feel. These emotions that I mostly need to heal. It's all hard killing. Start with black chilling. March through the streets in a million. Dealing with injury, us. Just us against us. We must bust back into the game. One attack. Pull over, fool. This is the jack. Now give me back the fat in my memory sack. My culture. Every day I'm getting closer. Living it up like I'm supposed to. Who the king ruling this? Star, the light is never meant ya. One of these days I'm gonna kiss ya. Set you with my lips up. Get the cheek. Gonna hit ya. So every day I'm reading scripture. One day. One time. Maintain. Shine. Stay can. Rhyme. Free your mind. Let me holla. Let me holla. Let me holla. Let me holla. Hey yo.
To get ready, fabricate your brain, the fallout too deadly. Run away for the eye, the seven Getty. The good that you speak, some sweet up the smelly. Think like me, come back, brother, tell me. Why you never want to call job on the telly? Why you wanna never call job on the telly? Yeah.
Baby, go when I unload, make an ego explode. They be gone soon as I enter in the dough. We be vetting, I'm relenting too cold. Fuck a white collar, sucker can't do me nada. Been in a lot of situations, made it hotter. Homie, but we gotta live it, got the fodder. Give it, then I get it, spit it, make it proper. It's alright, plus my mic sounds nice. Flip it, be specific, slip your dice. We fly on a gamble, try, learn to handle. Ways of the days of life, fade the candle. It's flicker, sticker, black, bring the cup back. Before we lose track of where we at.
Save Us Chuck Minute is brought to you by Common Sense Everywhere, except in Washington.
My fellow Americans, I was absolutely shocked at the revelation that Jesse Jackson Jr. is accused of spending campaign finances like a recent lotto winner. But what really shocked me was in the midst of this scandal, the people of Chicago reelected him, only for him to resign a week later, costing the state a fortune in special election costs. Jackson will soon be joining the prestigious list of Chicago luminaries like Dan Rostenkowski and Rod Blagojevich. And since no one is responsible for their own actions, not even voters, I would like to propose that Chicago open up a felonious politician museum. This way they can pick up some lost revenue that's been pilfered from the people. And make sure to leave room for expansion for more Chicago heroes like Axelrod, Emanuel, and Obama.
I'm Chuck Woolery. And I think I just said that with my outside voice. Like us on Facebook at the Save Us Chuck Woolery page and follow us on Twitter at Save Us Chuck.
Reese on the radio. We're back right here on blogtalkradio.com. 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Our special guest, of course, on the air is our good friend, friend to the room, friend to the show, Mr. Jay King of Club Nouveau. We'll get him back on the air right now. Did you call Six Sister Girl for me, my friend?
She's not answering the phone, Reese. She's doing her show.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, she's not. Well, we'll get her after 9 o'clock. Folks, I've got to tell you this on the show, this January the 18th, 2013. I've waited forever for this day to come. I waited for and ever for this day to come. Now, I used to do a little thing back in 2008 on my WRKO show up in Boston where I would always call this guy by his given name, Reneggin. Real Reneggin nigga. Reneggin. Reneggin. That's what I always referred to him as. Reneggin, former New Orleans mayor and the public face of the battered city in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, has been indicted by a grand jury on 21 federal corruption charges. The indictment, which was released today, alleges Reneggin was awarded a lucrative city contract to contractors in exchange for more than $200,000 in kickbacks and first-class trips to Hawaii, Jamaica, and Las Vegas. Reneggin, who's 56 years old, served four terms as mayor from 2002 to 2010 and currently lives in Frisco, Texas. That's right, the son of a bitch ran out to Texas, you know, where he usually sent most of the quote-unquote refugees, according to news media, refugees from Hurricane Katrina. He moved his ass out to Texas. That's right. Moved his ass out to Texas where there's no income tax. Thank you. What's his name? Governor, why am I forgetting his name now? Why am I forgetting the governor of Texas now? Ran for damn president. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Nonetheless, Reneggin has now been indicted. According also to the story, Reneggin says he could not be reached for comment. He becomes the first mayor in the city's 295-year history to be indicted under the federal corruption charge. Reneggin could not be reached at phone numbers listed at his Frisco address. He's due in federal court on January 31st to be arraigned by a federal magistrate. Quote, "This is a sad day for the city of New Orleans," the current mayor, Mitch Landrieu, said in a statement. "Today's indictment of former Mayor Reneggin alleges serious violations of the public trust. Public corruption cannot and will not be tolerated. The charges stem from a city hall corruption investigation that already has resulted in guilty pleas by two former city officials and two businessmen who you can bet beyond a shadow of a doubt, ladies and germs, have turned on Mayor Reneggin immediately. Oh, those son of a bitches sold him down the river. Hopefully it was the Mississippi. Now, let me tell you this before anybody else gets involved here, because I'm going to get some commentary from our very own producer, JC, the producer, and, of course, Jay King, our special guest tonight. But let me tell you something. I've got a personal beef with Reneggin. I got a personal beef with this piece of garbage. And let me itemize my personal beef with this moron. If anybody knows, over the past 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, the biggest thing that happens in our media today is that the news leads with two fundamental things. And those two fundamental things are weather and traffic. And this superstorm, Katrina, that was heading towards New Orleans, everyone had been talking about it some 6 days before. And the tracking that was read by the meteorologists said that it was going to head right into New Orleans, and it was going to get smacked. It was going to get beat down. I want to tell you a little joke. Hurricane Rita happened right after Hurricane Katrina. There's a joke going around that goes like this. What did Hurricane Rita say to Hurricane Katrina? She said, "Hold my earrings, bitch. I'm about to hit them next." That's a great joke, right? Bottom line, everybody knew this storm was coming. And 2 days before, 2 days before that hurricane hit the shoreline of Louisiana, Ray Nagin and the governor, whose name escapes me now, and JC, find out who the governor of Louisiana was at the time, okay? They did nothing to get those people out. They did not evacuate. I saw one, maybe two news reports where there were buses that were sitting underwater that they didn't use to evacuate people. And the thing that baffled me, the thing that made me absolutely angered about all of this, was that Ray Nagin took 100,000 citizens in the New Orleans area and put them into the Superdome. And they were in the Superdome. And Ray Nagin's excuse for those buses being there was that we didn't have any bus drivers to get those people out to drive those buses. And I'm saying to myself, as a regular citizen, I've never held public office, but I'm from Realville. And with one question I would say over the loudspeaker, with 100,000 people huddled inside the Superdome.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, do we have any one of you niggas who can drive a frickin' bus? Anybody, please come forward, we've got a frickin' job for you.
That's all you had to do, you piece of garbage. Just ask people, anybody here know how to drive a bus, a truck, anything, got a CDL license? He did na-na-na-na-nada. And he sat by and he watched those people die. And who did they blame it on? They blamed it on George W. Bush. And I'm going to go one step further here. I don't know if anybody watched the Oprah Winfrey interview with George W. Bush, but did you hear what George W. Bush said about the word insurrection? Is that the federal government cannot take over a state until they find that the governor and the mayor of that town, until the local government has been deemed incompetent, and the federal government files an insurrection that is then filed by the Congress and the Senate to take over the state to have federal rule. That is called an insurrection. George W. Bush spoke to the governor of Louisiana and said, "Should we take over?" And the governor said, "No, we've got this." George W. Bush took the brunt of that bullshit. He took the brunt of it. He has always been blamed of it, a la Kanye West. George W. Bush don't care about black people. Shut up, nigga. Write another rap record and get Kim Kardashian pregnant. That's all I care about hearing from you. But that son of a bitch got blamed. He got ripped apart, and it was freaking unnecessary and uncalled for. And the person who is solely responsible is the son of a bitch who's having his head handed to him today with 21 federal counts of corruption. And I hope you fry, you piece of shit. I hope you fry. Now we'll take some questions. Jay King?
Yeah. Okay, first of all, everybody should take the blame for Katrina, from the president on down, because he was supposed to run the show, all the way down to Ray Nagin, and every public official.
Jay, not to interrupt you, and I'm going to let you finish, but there's local government there. The governor is the president of a state. That's the president.
Listen, FEMA is a federal organization, and it should. And once we knew the magnitude of what was going to happen, FEMA should have been automatically mobilized. It should have been, you know, for some reason, I don't know what's wrong with this country. We're not into preventative. We're into let the tragedy happen and then try to prevent more tragedy. And, you know, so we can, you know, so it's like the white cape can come out or something. The bottom line is this. FEMA should have been enacted immediately. We knew what kind of storm we were going to be hit by. I didn't agree with Ray Nagin and all the stuff that he did. It was a lot of showboating to me. It was a lot of hallelujah and a lot of, you know, finger pointing. But George Bush, yeah, he should be to blame. And just a FYI, the little $200,000 piddly dollars that he took, and which is probably more like $2 million when it's all said and done, is nothing compared to the kind of thievery that takes place at the White House and on that level. And I don't exclude one Barack Obama from that. There's a whole lot of thieving going on. We saw it happening with Halliburton when Bush was in office, and you know who ran Halliburton. So, I mean, so this is a sickness inside our system, Reese. This is a system, and I think as Americans, as the general American public, we have to become more aware of the corruption that's happening at government, locally, statewide, nationwide, and even internationally. We are killing ourselves. Our government is killing us.
Right.
Thievery is killing us. So, you know, and I think what happens is this. We get so caught up in politics of parties, you know, because, you know, somebody asked me if I'm a Republican or a Democrat. I'm neither. I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. It's according to how I'm feeling. It's according to, if, to me, if the cat out of Utah, what's his name? I liked him, the Republican candidate.
What's my man saying?
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're talking about. His first name is Jay, and I want to say Chastain, but it's not that. It's Chavitz. Chavitz.
Whatever the guy. He was, I don't know. I'll find out. I got it because I did something on him in one of my shows. But I would have voted for him before I voted for Barack. I voted for anybody that has humanistic ideas and that's really doing the right thing. Ray Nagin, the problem I have with Ray Nagin is that Ray Nagin got on the soapbox, and he did this big dance.
Right.
And he acted like he was for the people. And he just like everybody else.
Let me read this to you. This comes from, and I found out her name. Her name is Kathleen Blanco. She was the woman who was the governor of Louisiana during the time of Hurricane Katrina. And she served from 2004 to 2009. Now, this is exactly what it is they're stating in her bio. At least the bio written about her. President Bush, during a visit to Louisiana on September 2nd, 2005, 5 days after the storm, ordered to federalize the Louisiana National Guard offered to federalize the Louisiana National Guard to simplify the current structure. The governor declined because the Guard would then become part of the federal military forces and therefore lose much-needed policing powers. The president subsequently continued to press the offer, so Governor Blanco rejected it in writing, citing the need for flexibility in National Guard operations, particularly the need for the Guard in areas other than New Orleans. So she declined the president to take over.
But you see why? But not for no reason. You read the reason. Come on, you have to be fair, Reese. See, what you start playing politics too because you have a conservative viewpoint. You want to play politics like that. You're a smart guy. You and I we've had private conversations, so I know how smart of a guy you are. But you play politics a lot when you shouldn't. You shouldn't do it because you're too smart for that. And you should do and because your voice is strong and because people listen to you, what you should do is on both sides of the aisle, tear their asses up. You pick on liberals a lot. You don't pick on conservatives, and that's not right. If you be fair. Because you're capable.
Well, I do. I promise you that when Republicans screw up, I do rip them. I will admit I do play partisan politics all the time, probably more times than not. But that's just me. But the only reason why I do it is because I believe that there isn't a fair representation of conservative views that I believe are helpful to the country. Now you start
sounding like Democrats because then you'll say, you know, because then they'll say, you know, everybody can make up a rule for why they do what they do. Well, you know, everybody can justify it. Don't justify it. Just say, you know what, let me work on it. I'll get better at that.
I will promise you this. I will do better at paying more attention to, well, you know, okay, I'll do it for you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're right there. I got to go to the top of the hour. Stick around. We'll be right back. On the phone with us tonight is Jay King of Club Nouveau. And, of course, more importantly, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, Kings in the Morning. Check out his show. He's hanging out with us tonight. We're going to try to get Sister Girl in here now. Her show is over, so she better come in. We'll be right back right here on Resetter Radio. And thank you for hollering. We'll be back.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Thank God it's...
gun control, gotta get rid of the guns. Look, man, I like guns. You got a gun, you don't have to work out. I ain't working out. I ain't jogging. You got pecs, I got pecs. Oh, man.
Top of the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is January the 18th, 2012. We've got to make sure that we get into the Maite Teo story and, of course, Lance Armstrong, who I believe personally is a scumbag, a piece of garbage. His life is over, and I will sit idly by while his life is completely destroyed. But I have to play this audio of the new Maite Teo information. It's a couple of minutes long, so bear with me. This investigation was done by a reporter at Sports Illustrated, in fact, who talks about some other people who have come forward, and Renee Tai Supioso, whatever his name is, you'll hear the name. I can't pronounce it right now. Tui Asasopo, that's it, Tui Asasopo. Who apparently ran this same prank 4 years ago, back in 2008, on another guy. And now it's being revealed that Maite Teo may not have been involved at all in this scheme. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that is Maite Teo was talking about his grandmother dying on September 11th, September 12th now I'm hearing, but September 11th of 2012, and his girlfriend dying. Some hours later, he had been talking about his girlfriend, who had gotten a car accident, and then, of course, had this leukemia and then died. And the media followed the story, and then they found out that the woman didn't exist. This is a report by Sports Illustrated.
Developing story on SportsCenter. We have heard from Notre Dame on the Maite Teo hoax. We've heard from ex-teammates with their thoughts on who knew what was real and when they thought they knew it. What we haven't heard is from Maite Teo himself, but that could end soon. ESPN's Jeremy Schapp has learned Teo has been huddling with family members and a team of advisors today in hopes of collectively deciding the best way for Teo to address this controversy. Meanwhile, Shelley Smith has uncovered another layer to the story. Thursday night, we talked to a man and a woman who say the same person who was accused of duping Maite Teo, this man, Renaya Tui Asasopo, pulled out the same hoax 4 years ago on their cousin. Not only that, they tell us that he did it in the exact same way, using the same girl's name and the same exact photo used while duping Teo. The man who was allegedly duped 4 years ago declined to speak to Outsider Lines, but his two cousins explained how they came to realize what was happening to Teo had happened before.
Remember when I found out about the Samoan football player, his girlfriend, his grandma died the same day his girlfriend died. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. You know, I felt so bad for him. And then, so I just looked him up. And then I found out that his girlfriend's name was Lene Kekua. And right when I read the name Lene Kekua, I immediately thought of Oneida. And then I thought of my cousin, that this has to be the same person. And even when they showed pictures of Lene, it was the same pictures that my cousin showed me back in 2008 or 2009.
The same
exact pictures. It wasn't even different pictures. They weren't updated or nothing. It was the same picture.
What did you think right now?
I just thought when I kept it up, like, it's just crazy.
We all figured it out. We were very suspicious when it was 2008, but we actually got it down to the point we knew that it was exactly Renaya around December. I even tried to reach out to Manpad, actually, through Twitter, but he actually blocked me, so I couldn't reach out to him. I believe Manpad was the victim of the hoax. We also spoke to a woman who says she became close with Tuliapa Sopo through church. She told us he called her in early December of last year, crying, admitting he had done something terrible. The woman, who didn't want to go on camera or have her name used, fearful for her family's safety because of the overwhelming publicity, says Tuliapa Sopo gave her a tearful confession and accounting of how he played what he said was at first a game on an unsuspecting Teo. He called me and saying he was frantic at first on the phone. And then he started to explain himself, saying that he has done something terrible, and that I tried my best to see what was wrong until he actually came out and saying, do you know the football player named Nancy? And I said, yeah, I saw him on TV a couple of times. And he said, well, my cousins and I have been, behind computers just doing a whole, dating and lying out. And I go, oh, really? And, and he told me, he was like, well, I'm just, I don't know what to do because it's getting out there. It's, public-wise, for him to mess up his career. So when he told me that, I was shocked.
What did Renai tell you about Manpad knowing or being in on this hoax?
He told me that Manpad was not involved at all. He was a victim. And that he told him that day when he called, when he, confessed to him that, everything was a lie. The girlfriend part was a lie. The accident was a lie. Leukemia was a lie. And that's what he basically told me.
That woman says she spoke to Tuliapa Sopo again when he called her 2 days ago. She said that he sounded calm and okay, but she has no idea where he is, suspecting he is hiding. She says she urged him to come forward publicly to seek forgiveness. We tried to contact Tuliapa Sopo ourselves, but thus far have been unsuccessful. The woman said he told her his two cousins, a man and a woman, were also in on the hoax and sometimes impersonated a female voice in conversations with Teo. The two people we interviewed on camera began tweeting about what they knew about the hoax last fall, and sometimes in a joking manner, leading many to believe they were involved. They say they are not and regret the joking. In Los Angeles, I'm Shelley Smith, ESPN. Manti Te'o's girlfriend, as he believed, was Lene Kekua, but it turns out Kekua is really Diane O'Meara. Inside Edition caught up with this woman whose photos were reportedly used to create Kekua. O'Meara had no comment. Her lawyer says she's also a victim and that she doesn't know Manti Te'o. So here's a timeline of how this has unfolded. On September 12th, Te'o's grandmother died, and just hours later, he learns of the alleged death of Lene Kekua. Then December 6th, Teo says he received a phone call from the person he believed to be Kekua. He, by the way, continues to get harassing calls from that phone number. He alerts Notre Dame on December 26th, and then Wednesday, Teo issues the statement claiming he is the victim of this hoax. Now,
so that's where it is so far. I don't know whether or not these are people covering up, but here's where the biggest problem lies. It turns out that Maite Teo knew on December 6th that he was the part of an elaborate hoax. He immediately informs Notre Dame Athletics Club. He lets them know the girl isn't true. He does an interview on the 8th. He does an interview on the 9th that airs on the 10th, where he is still talking about the faux girlfriend and referring to her as a person who has died, even though on the 6th he knew that the broad was dead. Or, pardon me, didn't exist, I should say. Sorry, didn't exist. Finally, They wait until after the national championship, and then he comes out publicly, and the school comes out publicly and says, okay, the girl was a hoax, he got duped, blah, 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 blah. They still allowed him to have these interviews. The only thing that anybody hasn't had a discussion about is the fact that Maite Teo's dad, and others have suggested that Maite Teo actually saw the girl in California. What's added more fuel to the flames is this. There was a gentleman who we talked about yesterday who goes by the name of Mawai, Reagan Mawai, who played two games with the Arizona Cardinals football team, who said he met Lene Kukua along with Troy Polamalu of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pardon me. It turns out, and Mary was right, and I have to correct myself, both of them say that they met Lene Kukua, and they did some sort of charity work with her in Samoa. But it doesn't matter because it's solid that the broad doesn't exist. And Inside Edition, as you just heard, caught up with the broad who is being used in the picture. Let's go back to Jay King, who's with us from Kings in the Morning and, of course, of Club Nouveau. Has that cleared anything up for you?
I'm going to tell you something. And I said this on my show the other day, Reese, a few mornings ago before Monday. I said, what they're going to find out is this. The ball player, Teo, was involved in this deal. And what you're seeing now is a community come together to try to fix something because they know that this thing has spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
There's no way that he don't know about this. There's no way that you keep telling this lie and you want me to believe that you weren't part of the hoax. Because as soon as I find out it's a hoax, I'm going to tell. And I'm going to tell everybody. And the last thing I'm going to do is hide. If you know this reason, when you do something wrong, the first thing you want to do is hide. You want it to go away. You want it to go away as fast as it possibly can because you know you're wrong.
Right.
Oh, when you write about
something. I can take that firsthand, my friend, because when I got arrested, all I wanted to do was talk. I wanted the cameras. I wanted
That's
the
right.
media. I wanted everything.
Because you knew that you knew it wasn't the truth. And everything that you could do to make the truth happen, you wanted to make it happen.
Right.
Because you don't want to get caught up in it. And see, if somebody's lying on me, I tell people all the time, you can say anything bad you want to say about me. I don't care. But if you start lying on me, that's when you're going to get me. And you're going to get everything I got. Because I ain't going to let you just lie on me. And I think this kid, and this is just me, I think, you know, there was a chance for him to win the Heisman Trophy. It would have been a big deal for a defensive person, the defensive lineman, to win the Heisman Trophy. Very seldom do they even get nominated, let alone win.
Right.
This is one of the best seasons that they've had in 20 years or better. And it was just a storybook. This could have been a great storybook ending. But we're in the information age, man.
Right.
You can't, you know, John Kennedy would have never been president in this age. He liked vagina pie too much.
You know, it's interesting because I look at this and I'm going, here's a kid who got a lot of notoriety off of this story. Mm-hmm. Everyone was, I mean, they were clamoring to talk about this. And I said this on my afternoon show at 1 o'clock. I said, you know, the media took this story. They elaborated it, exacerbated it, kept talking about it. They wanted to make this broader than what it was. They were looking for a sports hero. Here's what I believe is the reason why they did. I believe that they made this a story about a sports hero because they had Lance Armstrong on the opposite side who was going downhill. And they wanted something that would oppose sort of that dynamic. Here's one guy going down, here's another guy going up. and they see this story of this girl. Grandma, there's not much attraction there. But this beautiful young girl who's dating and in love with this sports figure who's great, she died. Let's get some background on her and let's bleed out her story. Let's wring the blood out of her body and get as much media coverage as we possibly can. You know, turn that story into something, incredible that everybody would look to this guy, Maite Teo. He's the new hero of sports. And in that investigation, people are looking and looking, and all of a sudden, the dead body's not turning up. The name's not turning up. All of a sudden, these other facts are turning up, and the media is going, wait, we just built this guy up, and we got duped.
And we don't like to be made a fool of. And we do not like to be made a fool of.
That's
now we're going
right.
to really tear your ass
exactly.
up.
Exactly. The media says, this guy, we were writing his story. We probably were going to get a book out of it. We were going to write plenty of books about it. We were going to sell millions of copies because we turned him into an icon, and he fooled us. This son of a bitch, this peon dumb jock made a fool of us. And now we've got to find the guy to pay. And I think that's the sensation now.
Yeah, well, you know, I first of all, I don't think that they don't care who the story is. I don't think it had anything to do with Lance Armstrong. I think it's more they're whores. The media is just whores. What's the next best piece of pussy out there? Lance Armstrong got some good pussy. Yeah. Lance Armstrong got some good pussy.
But there's some way better
pussy that's out there. Ooh, Maite Teo, that's the best pussy. That's that good pussy. And they went for the good pussy, and then the good pussy wasn't so good. Then they finally, you got the clap.
Well, that's exactly what they got. They got the clap. They've been burned. They're angry, and now they want vengeance because the media elites, they don't want to be duped because they are the ones who vet everything, and they were gung ho. Jumping on this story, making everything and anything they can make out of it, then they find out it isn't true, and everything that they wrote is BS. And they don't care that they duped, that the public ended up being duped. They believe that now the people don't believe them. And to get that retribution and to get what they believe is the credibility of the public, now they must find a villain. And now they must expose Maite Teo and destroy him. Now it's about them. It's personal. That's where this is coming from. That's why Maite Teo's in so much trouble. Because
you know what the sad part about this is?
Sure.
Maite Teo was a 21, 22-year-old kid.
Right.
You know what 21, 22-year-old kids do? They make mistakes.
Yeah, sure.
This kid made a mistake. You know, listen. Chris Brown made a mistake, but they're going to beat him up like he was 100. Nigga, he was only 19. So what we do is we're so loving if you do what we tell you to do. Loving if you act the way we tell you to act.
That's so
loving if you're exactly what we want you to be. But damn it, if you do anything outside of that, we're going to tear your ass in two.
That's right.
I'm not going to take into account that you're a kid, that you're going to make these mistakes. And that these are things that I'm not going to make it a learning lesson for you. I'm going to try to take your life from you.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's not right.
Exactly. I built you up. I can tear you down. That's the elitism from the press. That's their motive here. That's their motivation here. We built you up, and if you defy us, we're going to tear you down. That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. All right, let's take a break. We got a call. I'm hoping this is Sister Girl. I text
her your number. It's 248.
That's her. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll get Sister Girl in here soon enough, who promised me an email that I didn't get, by the way, Sister Girl.
Called in. Reason, be nice.
Well, I can't introduce her properly if I don't have her.
Oh,
you
want, right. You want
herself.
A Dr. Princess Odelia.
Fine.
Hey, look, and her name is Princess Odelia. That's her whole name, right?
That's her real name?
Yeah, Princess Odelia. And so she's a doctor.
I know she's a doctor, but we'll get all that information in a little bit, because I want to hear, because she's going to analyze me, black woman to black man, because she got offended that I used the term nigger bitch when describing my mother when she was 20 years old.
Oh, my God, you better not call my mother-in-law that.
My wife. We'll be back at 3 on the Radio. We'll get into nigger bitch politics when we return. It's 3 on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Yes, this is Miss Renee King out of Philadelphia. I'd like for you to give me a call on area code 215-222-4209, and I'm calling in reference to the music business. Thank you.
Back to you. Once again, it's another rap bandit, meaning that I am, I can't stand it. Wanna be down with the day glow, knocking on my door, saying, hey, yo, yo. Knocking on my door, saying, hey, yo, yo. I got a funky new tune with a fly banjo. I can't understand what the problem is. I find it hard enough dealing with my own biz. How'd they get my name and number? Then I stop and think and wonder about a plan. Yo, man, I gotta step out top. You wanna call me up? Take my number down. Dick and Tom with a demo in his phone. Now I'm with helping those who want to help themselves and flaunt a nut that's doggy as a dog. But it's not the move to hear the tales of limousines and pals of money they'll make like a pro. I be like, yo, black is claiming a taste. Well, after show the time is fair, I just make. But the songs made it in they shack. So wick, wick, whack situations like this. I now hate to give me smiles, Kool-Aid wide and ass. And with the straightest bitch, I be like, hell yeah. I slip them the bitches to pop a Prince Paul, so I don't go AWOL, but yet I go in they call, they get.
How you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave me a number and I'll get back to you? Hey, how are you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number and I'll get back to you? Check it out. Party at the Dragon on Dixon Ave. Haven't been to a jam for quite a while. Big gal, catch up on the latest styles. There's piles and piles of them. It takes about a mile.
Now woe is me to the third degree. Mace pulls the funny, so I make like the bunny. Check, but I'm getting used to the same more abuse, getting raped and giving birth to a kid. Cause there's no escape from the clutches of a hawker. Attached to my success, sent like a stalker. Make way to my radius, playing fly guy. Try to get my back, they force like Luca. Me, myself, and I go to act daily. And really, do I not? No matter how I die, some jackal always nails me. No matter what the plot. And even out on tour, they be like, yo, I gotta get the player back at the hotel. I be like, oh, swell, unveil the numeric code that guides my room. And tell them to call me at noon. But of course, there's no answering machine in my room. But a pretty young adorn boy swung on tour. And if the room's my wit alone, she'll answer the phone. And with the business, she'll be like a phone.
Hey, you done did the right thing, dollar. My ring, ring, now you're waiting on the beat. Say, I would love if you sing a tune the true instead of fronting on the street. So no problemo, just play your demo. And at the end, it's breakout time. Please, oh, please don't press rewind, cause I'll just lay it down the line. Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and we'll get back to you.
Come on, player, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute.
My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, it allows for people to protect themselves even from the government, if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders, like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't unemployment a problem anymore? I'm Chuck Woolery. To talk to me directly, go to Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
We are live, 26 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is January 18th, 2012. My beloved wife, Mary Mary, why you bugging, is back here in the studio after a long day. Welcome home, my dear.
Thank you.
And that is my fine white woman. Jay King has been kind enough to play my song, Fine White Woman, on his show. Kings in the Morning, make sure you check him out, without a doubt. Bottom line. Because it is time. I'm rhyming here, honey. You hear me? It's a black thing. You couldn't understand.
Maybe you're a fine white woman, but not the kind of fine white woman you talking about that goddamn song.
I'm trying to get my flow going. You know what I'm saying? It's a black thing. You wouldn't understand. Hold me down. Hold me down.
Yeah, I think I understand a black thing better than you.
That's what everybody says. Everybody says that I'm the white person in our marriage, and my wife is the black woman. For some odd reason, but I'll let you guys debate that later on. On the phone with us, of course, is from Kings in the Morning, Jay King, and also of Club Nouveau, Jay King, who's on the air with us. And please introduce yourself. Dr. Sister Girl is on the line with us now, who's going to analyze me, the black man trapped, the white man trapped in a black man's body. Sister Girl is on the air. Hello, my dear.
Now Jay did say that the name was Princess Adelia, Dr. Princess Adelia, not Sister Girl. Let's clear that up. Okay?
Princess Odelia, Dr. Princess Odelia is on the line with us, who promised that she'd come call in today. I'm glad that she's Jay King is also on the line. Dr. Princess Odelia, what kind of medicine or doctorate do you have, my dear?
I have a PhD.
And what?
My PhD is in metaphysical parapsychology.
Mm.
I am a licensed practitioner for physical and mental ailments, and I see patients. We have a program where in which we collaborate with psychiatrists, but typically in the program they come to me first. I help them, and if there is a need for further medical attention as it relates to receiving medicines, then they are referred to a psychiatrist in that matter. So
are you like a go-between? Are you like the middleman? I hate to use that term, but are you like the middle person here? Like you are a liaison, so to speak?
No, natural medicine and healing.
Oh, okay. All right. You deal with natural. So you probably, give people peyote.
Stop it.
What? I'm not being serious here.
Nobody gives anybody peyote.
I don't know.
Oh,
she said natural.
God. Natural medicine.
Natural medicine. So you deal with a lot of the me love you long time doctors.
Well, yeah. And you have to understand, in the world of medicine, psychiatry, they are licensed, and in their situation, they are not able to go beyond the surface. In my field, I can go very deep. I can talk about the spiritual side, et cetera, and that's what sets us apart.
Okay.
I can go really deep. And they can't. They'll lose their license.
Oh, my God.
So the best that they can do for you is medicate.
Listen to Jay King in the background. Go ahead, Jay King. I'm going to let you go. Go ahead.
No.
I'm done.
Now, why are you done?
Don't go anywhere. Relax.
Because I'm done. Because I know what you're getting ready to say.
What am I going
to
say?
I need
to edit. Now you got it. Now you miss Cleo too. And now you know what I'm going to say before.
Hold on. Dr. Princess Odelia, don't let these men run you away. Stand your ground.
I must tell you, you sound more black than your husband.
Everybody says it.
They're also right. She is more black than her husband.
I probably am.
Hey, Reese.
She's had more ham hocks and collard greens than I've ever done.
No, I don't do collard greens. Let's not get straight.
Now, I do collard greens, but I ain't fooling with no ham. I don't eat pork.
I'm not eating no ham hocks either.
Yeah. Okay, so now, Dr. Princess Odelia, you dig deep because you got a doctorate to dig deep. You got a dig deep doctorate.
Right.
It's in the field of psychiatry. So it's just a natural approach. And I can suffer losing my license if, in fact, a patient is led down the wrong path, just as a psychologist or a psychiatrist would, but I cannot administer prescription medicine.
Okay.
I cannot do that.
Yeah, it's almost like if you compare an optometrist, since these gentlemen are trying to do comparison, it's almost like you take an optometrist versus an ophthalmologist. An optometrist can write certain meds. Although an optometrist can write certain meds, they don't have an MD behind their name. They have an OD. There you go.
Well, I think it's only
appropriate that
now that we have Dr. Princess Princess Odelia here, as I like to call her, Dr. Sister Girl. We have her here. I think it's right that we need to bring back Therapy Thursday. That's a thing that I invented, and I have an intro for it. So, Dr. Princess Odelia, I want you to, if you could, call on Thursdays. If you could, call on Thursdays at 9 o'clock, and you'll have your own intro. I have it right here. Listen.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
Now, if you remember that theme, that's the Frasier theme, who, of course, was a psychologist. And we play that on Therapy Thursdays when we used to do that feature here. So I'd like to play that for you and make that your intro on the show.
Aww.
So you can psychoanalyze me. Now,
this is the thing, though. I have the show from True Purpose Radio, and it's also simulcasted on the Jay King Network and on the TJRS Radio Network. The True Purpose Development Show is Thursdays, and it's from 8 until 10.
Really?
Yes.
So can I do something where I call into your show and I'll tell you what's, like, bugging me or whatever, and then you'll do, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes and try to analyze. I'll come up with one issue that's bugging me, and then you psychoanalyze me.
You know what you can do? You can call me on Thursdays. We'll pick a spot, and between the 9 and 10, it's Keeping It Real with the Doc and MLB, so we talk a QOD. And we have that discussion. I think it'll be fun. You can call in, and we'll have a therapy moment in that segment. That ought to be very interesting. And you could call in, and maybe even while you're on your show, and we could just air
yeah,
it, and
yeah,
that'll
I think
just
we
be
can,
a
right.
moment that you do that.
Right. We can simulcast both. We've done that before. It's actually been a huge success with us. So if a lot of you don't know, let me break this down, because this is how – Dr. Princess Odelia and I sort of engaged our first time. We crossed paths the first time on Kings in the Morning, Jay King's show, and I want to thank him for allowing me to come on and sort of have this discussion.
Hi, Jay. I didn't even say hi to him.
But
because you're too busy, trying to cut the cake.
Jay, don't worry, we'll get you in here, because I want your opinion too. The bottom line was that I was talking about growing up in my household, and I was talking about how my mother raised us and how my mom was ill-equipped and probably was a mom, who she'd probably admit it now, who did not want to have the children that she had and was literally, I use the term, nigger bitch when it came to raising children, only in the aspect that she was ignorant, uninformed, and ill-equipped to raise a family because she was more interested in other things. She was young, she was dumb.
A nigger, and then you didn't even use the slang nigger. You said nigger, which is a stupid term.
That ER hurt her.
Dr. Princess Cordelia, he doesn't know how to say it, N-I-G-G-A. He can't even pronounce it. It's not a possibility. might I say, my mother-in-law is a wonderful, beautiful woman.
She is.
With wonderful, beautiful children. They all turned out okay. Nobody's, out in the street smoking crack or shooting heroin. So she must have did something right. Somebody somewhere down the line.
We did that
right.
In spite of her.
So don't call my mother-in-law that.
I know. It bothers you to even hear that, too. But you understand
and
where I'm
I believe you use that word, too.
I say nigga quite often, and I like it.
I'm not going to say that I don't use the N-I-G-G-A term. I'm not going to say that I don't, because I do. But you can't – not everybody can accept that. Not everybody perceives that the same way other people may perceive it.
Let me hear you say it real quick. I'm going to tell you about like.
No, I ain't going to say it.
Now, come on, say it one time. Now we friends. We family. We is family. I've got little Reese with me.
With respect for other people that may be listening and things like that, because I don't know how they take it. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't use it, because I do.
Yeah, what you do in your private life is your own business.
But I don't use it in a derogatory term, and that's what Reese does. He tends to use it in a derogatory term.
On purpose.
And that's why people are offended. It's a shock factor. That's why he uses it.
Says you.
But, I just want to say this. When people reference the term nigga, nigga has come to be a slang, not in a derogatory sense. Some people even choose to redefine it.
A term of endearment, will.
Well, pretty much, yeah. It's like, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's my nigga, something like that. But when you say nigger, you go back to the root. You bring it back to the surface, not even the surface. You're all on top of that. That is just really, it's ignorant, okay, Reese? I'm just gonna say it's actually pretty ignorant, and to refer to anyone, a black person, anyone as a nigger, any person, because a nigger actually means a stupid person.
Oh my God!
And your mom was never stupid. She wasn't
sure
stupid.
She was not informed.
She wasn't stupid.
She's right, because she made decisions in her life that unfortunately may not have been the right decisions, but you don't know why she made those decisions. What was her childhood like?
I understand that.
Maybe she made those decisions based on
and
what her childhood was like. Maybe her mother did not teach her the right way.
Sweetheart, you sound exactly like Dr. Ophelia, because that's exactly what it is that
now
she said
I'm
to me.
Ophelia.
But let me say this.
I took a few psychology and sociology classes.
Let me say this. It's interesting that you say this whole thing about, she made dumb choices or whatever the case may be. What I am suggesting here is, and I'm going to use a quote from a play. I don't know if you guys saw it or if it came to your area. There was a play called Race that starred Kerry Washington from Scandal, David Alan Greer from In Living Color, and James Spader, who's famously from the teen films. He was also in that show Boston Public, and it was a play about a black woman who had accused her employer of rape and all that other stuff. But there's a line in that play that I thought was brilliant, and it attributes itself to this conversation. And the black woman says to the white man, Kerry Washington's character says to James Spader, "Oh, you think all black people are stupid?" His response to her was, "I don't think that all black people are stupid. I just don't think that black people are absolved of the characterization." You get my point? Okay? What he's saying is that I don't think all black people are stupid, just like I don't think all people are stupid. I just don't think that blacks are absolved of the characterization. So for my mother...
It still goes back to, she's not a nigger. Come on. You need to find another way to define whatever you're trying to say, because that is disrespectful. Martin Luther King and everyone else, Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks and everybody will roll over in their grave. I mean, for you to even utter that out of your mouth in any fun or game, it's not funny.
Right.
And
cool.
You want respect? It's just really not funny. It's just not funny.
Okay, even if it's not funny, let me move on to another topic. I'm sorry. Mary, why you bugging? Wants to ask Dr. Princess Ophelia a question. Sweetheart, go ahead.
Why you calling me Princess Ophelia?
Princess Odelia. I apologize. I apologize.
I have to remind him all the time. Please excuse him. He hasn't taken his meds today.
I believe that.
Yeah, his medication is his cocktail, so I just got home with that. Dr. Princess Odelia, can you tell me, do you deal with any kind of, like, healing as far as the body goes, like your alkaline levels and things like that in the body? Do you deal with any of that?
I have resources that do, and people that I refer individuals to. When I have patients that come to me and are dealing with many things from depression, obesity, psychiatric issues. It everything starts first in the mind, but what is also very, very relevant is what you intake in your body, and I always encourage and refer them to a resource that I have here in Michigan and others that are around the country who do provide alkaline water.
Mm. If I could, I'm assuming that Reese has your information somewhere. So if maybe sometime, not on the show, but if I could get in contact with you, because I'm actually interested in learning, getting some more further information about that, health-wise, as far as like nutrition and stuff like that, because I know that if your body is not, at a certain level with your alkaline your alkaline levels, if you're not at that level, it can throw your mind off too.
Absolutely.
Are you suggesting that Reese's mind might be a little thrown off?
No, I'm actually referring to myself. I'm not saying my mind is off, but I do know.
Are you saying your mind is off because you married to Reese?
You might be right on point there, my friend.
And nothing that a little bit of E&J won't fix.
So we also have a naturopathic doctor on our team, and Dr. Tracy Robinson Blunt, and she's located in North Carolina, but we do things together. And she actually, in fact, she does things from the creating the oils. And after speaking with you and talking with you, she can even create a diet and give you suggestions of things that you should eat that will alter some of the mind issues that people do have that is inclusive of depression, inclusive of overeating. There are things that we eat that trigger those things in conjunction with the way we choose to think about circumstances in our life, et cetera. So
what about was
we could have a talk.
I'm a firm believer that that what you put in your body affects the way your brain functions, and I actually know that to be true because I know when I stopped smoking cigarettes and I stopped drinking diet soda, I mean, I felt like a whole new person. I was like, wow, even my mind, in my mind, I felt like a new person. So I do know that for me, you know, I think that that definitely affects my body. So, but well, we can talk about that when we're not on the air. I'll let Reese get back to whatever, you know, ignorant things he wants to talk about next.
Yeah, talk about a vote of confidence there.
I'll have you, but come on.
Thanks for marrying me. I appreciate it. It's really, really great. Thank you. I'm so happy I married that Negro. Anyway,
yeah, you guys sound like you are in the book. What's wrong with the microphone? It sounds like
repositioning your microphone, boss.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, guys. My bad. Okay, so, doctor, how am I sounding now? Am I okay now?
Yeah, you're fine.
Yes, you are.
At first, you sound like the underwater boogie. You sound like you were like you was at the club with a bunch of niggas.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Princess Odelia. I have one issue that I'd like to ask for, of you and Jay King, okay? It's one major issue. Now, I believe, and I haven't sort of delved into the idea, but I told you guys briefly when we had our private conversation, and I talk about everything on the air, no holds barred. But I talked about my two years, 5 months when I was locked up in jail. I know you two haven't read my bio or the article that I wrote called Anatomy of a False Rape Claim. I would like you to read that. But I was asking you guys privately about dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and whether or not how that would affect me now. I've been out of jail since April 6th of 2011, literally over a year. And I was wondering whether or not you had any insight or your views or even any experience on what people deal with after they go through something traumatic like that. Their life is almost over. They feel like, you know, they spent two and a half years feeling as though they're going to spend 20 years in jail. You know, then they get out and their entire world is in essence brand new. And you have to sort of take baby steps and how someone would deal with that and the struggles that I went through with that. Do you have any experience with that?
You know what's interesting? Let me say this. You know, I had a cousin who went through a similar situation that you went through, except that he and his woman have been intimate with each other. And whatever took place after that she didn't like, she decided that she was going to file a rape claim against him. And so she did. So she filed a rape claim against him. So he's in Mississippi at the time because he's traveling with a play. Now, you know, you can imagine. I mean, and you don't have to imagine because you were there, Reese. You know, not only is this claim against you, but you have people that are, you know, checking you into the jailhouse, taking your fingerprints, taking your pictures. You have women cops walking by looking at you like they want to kick your ass, shaking their head at you like you dirty son of a bitch.
Right.
You know, you have all this judgment being cast your way, not because anything has been proven. But because somebody said that you did something that you didn't do. And my cousin was in jail for a few days. I was able to call, get a bailman, get him out. And literally, they threw it out because it wasn't real.
Right.
Now, he was only in jail for a few days. But emotionally, I could see the toll that it had taken on his spirit. You know, the way he started treating women. Because once it started for him, he was like, I don't trust none of them. And today, I feel like part of his problem is he don't trust women because of this one incident.
Well, and that type of incident is enough to make somebody not trust people. I mean, you know, even if you're not accused of something like that, if you make really bad decisions on the people that you decide to be with and they do other hurtful things to you, all of that is, like, traumatic. And it affects everything in your life, everything. So to have something so extreme – to happen to you. I can't even imagine, you know, what that would be like or what anybody would be going through.
What are your thoughts, Dr. Princess Odelia?
There's so much. There's so much. In a natural sense, and understand that the perspective I come from is a term that you may hear a lot of these days when people are talking about consciousness, okay? And for those who may not have heard the term or understand what that means, it means that a person has come to the realization of what they are as a spirit being and the connectiveness between all of us, and have come to the truth and knowledge of accepting love and life circumstances as process, and that it's all relative to our growth. Thereby giving us the ability in that position mentally to forgive easy, to accept and have compassion when things such as that happen. And even when something like that happens, a person who is at a level of consciousness, and there are different levels of consciousness, where they can look, go through that and say, you know, it's okay. Apparently forgive them, for they know not what they do, and that was something they did due to their own lack of knowledge of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I have compassion for them. I'm okay. Now what am I to learn from this scenario? Is it forgiveness? Is it strength? Is it courage? What am I to learn from this? Because there is a greater cause for this situation. And when you think of it from that perspective, then you eliminate that circumstance of thinking of hatred, and even the trauma is minimized because you're coming from a different perspective of what took place in your life. Now, that is from a conscious standpoint. But understanding that most people are actually coming into consciousness and they are not present currently, it's very tough. And without that knowledge or exercise, having that exercise, that mental exercise and that spiritual awakening, it takes a process. It takes learning. It takes meditation. Now, you've gone through this, and I understand exactly what you're saying. That happened to you, and that's very, very, very tough. My heart goes out to you. But I also understand that it is a responsibility of yours so that you can grow, to first make a choice and decision to work on forgiving and to work on letting go, accepting that situation as it being a tool and catalyst for your growth, not for your demise. And when you make that choice, to just initial choice, to say, I'm going to consider that option because it's necessary, then to take one day at a time to just be still and be quiet.
7 minutes left in the show, Doc. 7 minutes.
No, she's fine.
Okay. I just want her to know that she got 7 minutes. She'll keep going. You know she...
I didn't say I said she's fine. I just said she's fine.
But Jay King, do y'all have some kind of rivalry going on?
No, they do that.
Let me tell you something. Miss Reese in the morning, Dr. Princess Odelia, we got to edit her, and what would happen is this: tomorrow you'd wake up from your sleep, and she'd be still on your phone. And another thing. Because she don't know how to edit. I've been trying to teach her, but she won't do it.
That's okay, Jay. That's okay.
Most women don't, though.
But I'm moved by what it is that she's saying, because there. To be honest with you, if I had more time, I would be screaming opposition. But I'm giving her fair play here, because I'll be honest with you, Doctor. I'm not. I'm not there at the forgiving part yet because of the fact that this is out of the accuser's hands now. Now this is turned into, as far as I'm concerned, a war with the powers that be who have now turned this personal. And it always was personal. And I'll tell you a little background because I know we only have 5 minutes, but brevity, again, this became a case where the girl, after the trial had ended, 11 people found me not guilty. One guy who said, I don't care, I don't want to deliberate, he's guilty. 11 people found me not guilty in the charge of rape. And the minor charges, it was 9-3, 8-4, something like that, right at the end of it. 9-3, 8-4. They said not guilty on the minor charges. I was ready to go to trial. But the prosecutor in this case always made it personal.
So she's a woman.
And she just went after me. She thought I was arrogant. She said, oh, he's got a big mouth. She didn't like the fact that I wouldn't concede to the New York City District Attorney's Office, that I would not buckle to them, that I fought them back full throttle. When I was accused, I called CNN and went on CNN on St. Patrick's Day in 2010 and literally threw it into their face and said, I've got proof. I wasn't there. They didn't like it. They offered me time served after 13 months, and I said, go F yourselves. They didn't like that I was in clear opposition to them, and I was willing to state my case to the world. They were like, we've never dealt with a guy like him. This is a guy who is fighting us tooth and nail. Why won't he just take a deal and go away? And that's when it became personal. So it made it difficult for me to find that, as you put it, forgiveness.
So it's not your accuser necessarily.
Yeah, the accuser is an idiot.
Now it's the law. It's the New York
right.
District Attorney's
the
Office.
The accuser went to the District Attorney's Office and said, drop the case. Went to the District Attorney's Office and said, drop the case. Hired her own attorney and said, look, I'm going to hire my own attorney to bar me from even meeting with the District Attorney's Office. And it took another 18 months before they finally came up with a deal for me to take a misdemeanor just to make an end of my lawyer. And I can, you know, talked about it. And I said, fine, let's just get it over with. So the bottom line was that they never relented. And it's hard for me to find that forgiveness when they're looking to destroy me at every angle.
Yeah, why did you fight so much to take the deal? See, I wouldn't have took the deal. You can't offer me nothing. Because it's a lie.
Jay, it's not that cut and dry. And Reese and I sat down and talked about this
for months.
Okay, it really was not that cut and dry. These people had his life in their hands. The new trial judge was not letting the same evidence and the same witnesses in and the same questions to be asked that were asked in the first trial. This judge was all about the DA. The judge actually said in his own words, and he should have had to be removed from the case, because the judge said in his own words, what 13 or 12 year old girl would go around saying this if it didn't happen to them. Now, that was not his place to say that. His stenographist, I believe is what they're called.
Stenographer, yeah.
Was laughing in the courtroom, and he looked at her at something that was said, and he looked at her and he said, I feel the same way that you do. No other judge will see this case except for me.
Bottom line.
So at that point, it was either take our chances and Reese possibly going to prison for 20 years and him being able to appeal but not see an appeals judge or go into an appeals court for 5 years, you know, or just take the deal and finally go on with our lives. And we were, you know, we're living here in Virginia. I had to take time off of work to go back and forth to court with him. You know, we had to spend a lot of money that was just, you know, that was available luckily at the time, but, you know,
it was depleting us.
It was killing us, and they knew that, you know, and for that judge to have sat in his, you know, behind his in his chair and say, you know, there is a, you know, what 12 or 13 year old girl would say that if it wasn't true.
I want
to say one thing before we go. I want you both to have an assignment. Sit down tonight, even when we get off the show, and ask yourself, stop, don't point your finger. We understand what happened. It was raw. We get that. That's the raw truth. But I want you to take a step back and look at you, look at both of you. Write down, how have you changed? Have you grown in any way? Strength, courage, knowledge? What happened to you? Positive. I only want you to reference the positive, and we'll talk about it next time.
All right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Jay King, as always, man, it's always a pleasure. I'll be on the show Monday, I promise, man, okay?
All right. I'll see you then.
Thank you, man.
Bye.
I want to
thank you.
Thank you, Princess, Dr. Princess Odelia, on the show tonight. We will. We're going to work out that thing, man, to get this going with Therapy Thursday, to get that back. And of course, Jay King of Club Nouveau and Kings in the Morning. Don't forget to check them out at 11 a.m. Eastern Time because they're out in the West Coast. Thank you, Dr. Princess Odelia, and we will talk to you soon. I got your number. We'll hang out soon. Thank you, everybody else, for joining us. Have a beautiful weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Same bad time, same bad channel. Don't forget to check out Reese on the Radio on Pooch FM or at 1 p.m. on Monday. And we'll see you then. That's right, weekdays. Wonderful. It's Reese on the Radio. I'll holla.